Sarah, you write that all who dine within the historic walls of the Freight House will experience a delightful taste of the New South. So what will we look forward to on your menu?
We have the menu set up in a way where you can come and you can dine heavily, you can dine light. It's very approachable for vegetarians or people, you know, with any type of restrictions. We have a lot of items that have a Southern influence. You know, we're using frog legs, fried and served with a barbecue spice, and then things like apple and celery coleslaw. We'll always have mussels served with andouille. We'll have seasonal pickles that'll rotate, local flavors and regional flavors that you would expect. But we're using products from this region to prepare all of those. Towards the end of the meal, you'll see things like crawfish pie and shrimp and grits. We do whole roasted fish. So we have a lot of seafood items, but most of those items are done from fresh water, from sources that we can get around here. We're using Kentucky Blue Snapper, which is another name for carp. You know, we're using Gulf fish as opposed to fish that would come from the Pacific or, you know, up in the Atlantic. We've got my mother on board, too, who's going to make a fresh pie, a different pie every day. So we'll have the pies that rotate with the seasons, you know, strawberry pie in early spring. You know, we'll have pumpkin pie and pecan pie in the fall and winter. Lots of different items. Nothing too crazy, but, you know, presented and prepared with a little more, I don't want to say care than people are used to, but we pay attention to where the products come from very closely, and I think that makes us different.
This is a big step for a young person to take to open a restaurant. Not only it's a lot of work, it's a lot of risk, but you're prepared, yeah?
Yes, I was born here in Paducah, graduated from UK and with a degree in psychology, and I didn't love my job, and so I kind of took a risk, and I said, I'm going to go to culinary school. So I went out to Charlotte, North Carolina, and went to culinary school, and I got really lucky to work for a really well-known chef out there named John Bell. And I worked for him in Charlotte, and then I actually went and worked for him in Birmingham, Alabama, and I worked at a five-star country club, and I got to work with some really old souls who'd been cooking Southern food for a really long time, and that's where I really learned to love that. And then I said, you know what, if I don't go to New York, if I don't risk it right now and go up to New York, I'm 25, 26 years old, I'll never get to do it. So I left and I moved to New York, just moved up there without a job or anything, and ended up getting to work for this great chef named John Fraser at a restaurant called Dovetail. It has a Michelin star, and I worked really hard. I started at the lowest spot in the kitchen and worked my way up. By the time I left, you know, I was the sous chef. And then I said, you know, I think I'm done with New York. I'm going to try Chicago. So I just picked up. I moved to Chicago, didn't have a job, took a big risk again, got to Chicago, got to work for a man named Paul Kahn, who is an amazing chef. And I was able to work at some of his different restaurants. Since I had left home, I had continually gotten farther away. And once I got back to Chicago and I was close to my family again, I said, you know what, I really want to move on to Paducah. And I think that Paducah is prime for the type of food I like to cook. I think they're ready for it. And I think that, you know, there's so much there. So I just, you know, started working on it about a year ago, and now I'm back. And we, you know, we took the risk. And so hopefully it'll pay off.
Well, I bet it will, because people in Paducah do like to eat well. What is your philosophy for food?
I've said before, and I've heard other people say, you know, eating is like an ethical act. You know, we need to have this honest exchange between the producer and the consumer. You know, if I can go to a farm, or if I can go to, you know, I'm using a guy, Riverbend Family Farms. If I can go to James and I can say, James, you know, this is the type of pork that I want, and this is, you know, the size that I want, he can do things where he can get that breed and he can butcher it at a certain time, and it's perfect for me, and it doesn't have to travel far. And I think that, you know, that philosophy, that outlook on really making sure that you are looking at the food and evaluating the food and touching your food at all stages makes it makes for a better meal. I think it tastes better when I know where it comes from, and when I know that it comes from my hometown and region, then I don't know, to me it just, nothing tastes better. So, you know, I think you need to involve more than just you know, going to the grocery store or ordering something from a big conglomerate, you need to take the time. You need to slow down and think about what you're eating and what you're cooking and where it's coming from. And if you do all of that, by the time the guest gets it on their plate, it just tastes better. And I think everyone can feel good about eating that food and serving it.
The sophistication of diners has increased over the years, I think, maybe due to the popularity of the Food Channel. I'm not sure. But there's sort of a fine line between really, really, for me at least, between food that is both sophisticated and yet comfortable versus just sophisticated. And I reference the Netflix series Chefs, where some of the dishes are just way out there.
Yeah.
How do you navigate that kind of current practice in your particular art? Among chefs, are there schools of thought?
Well, you know, I have been extremely lucky. You know, I've gotten to see a lot of different outlets for food. So, you know, I've worked in really nice country clubs. In college, I worked in pizza joints, you know. In New York City, I worked in a Michelin star restaurant that serves tasting and briefing menus only. At a very high price point where we used a lot of new and kind of interesting techniques. You know, when I was in Chicago, I worked in an old school butcher shop, and I worked in fine dining restaurant Blackbird. I worked in the one right next door to it, Avec, which kind of has this huge wood fire, and it's more of this like Mediterranean style, very simple food. So I've been able to see a lot of different levels of sophistication or refinement. I've been able to take all of those in and kind of, you know, make them my own. And, you know, the style of food that I like is Southern food, is wholesome food, the food that makes you think like, oh, I wish my grandmother had been able to cook like this. Like, it's flavors that we recognize, but it's a little elevated and a little more refined, but it's completely approachable.
Tell me about the Freight House. Touch on the history of its being a place, a brokerage for produce.
That has also been one of the most interesting aspects of this whole project, is getting to sit down and talk with a lot of older gentlemen who worked there and who are really into trains, and some of the guys over at the Railroad Museum. I've gotten to build a nice relationship with Bob Johnston, whose family owned the Johnston Brokerage Building. You know, I've gotten to go back and look at pictures. It was a produce warehouse. For almost 50 years, all of the produce that was coming into this region came in on one side, came right off the trains, and then went out through the other side. And the history of the building, in that sense, that I'm going to be able to bring produce back to an area of Paducah. We've still got the original limestone slab floor that they poured, you know, almost 100 years ago. The original pine roof, and it's all built like an old train trestle, and it's really amazing. It's beautiful. We've done a lot. We've saved all of the wood from the bay doors to build a bar top. We have some of the original superintendent lights from 1925 that we're using as the lighting. So we've tried to involve a lot of the history of that building back in, like, evolve it back into the new building and the new restaurant. It takes a lot when you have a building that's never had running water in 100 years and you have to go and put a commercial kitchen in it. I think that we have done justice to the original historical part of the building.
I have one more question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I want to know, what's the secret to the biscuits that I see on Facebook?
You got to get everything really cold.
Okay.
And when I worked down in Birmingham, Alabama, this lady taught me what they call it a church fold. And you know how when people go to church and they ask you to shake the hand of someone that is standing next to you?
Yes.
And then, you know, they all shake hands. So the way you do the church fold is you cut the butter into little bitty chunks, and then you take them and you rub them between your hands like you're shaking hands with someone, and they create these long, flat shards of butter. And then you can't overmix it, so whenever you cook it, it's almost like a laminated dough. They pop up and get really big, and you need a hot oven, and you need really cold ingredients.
It's almost the principle of puff pastry, only in biscuit form.
Yes, exactly. And I think using good butter, using, good milk and practice. So it's a labor of love. We make all the biscuits by hand. We don't use a machine for any of it.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.